Okay, here we go. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for your church. Thank you for the Passpoint class. Everybody's just so involved in all the different things. You know, we had people at camp this week. We had, you know, people sharing the gospel this week. You know, people just doing whatever you've called them to do. And I just thank you for allowing us to have a part in that. You know, getting the word where it needs to go on time. Lord, I do pray for the outreach that we're going to be a part of on Friday. I pray that you would convict the hearts of even those who are like, man, I just can't do it for X, Y, and Z, that you would just tell them, you know, this is the main thing. And so I pray that we would have just a great show and we'd go and have a great time, that everybody would realize, you know, after going, that's like, hey, this is actually really fun. There's nothing hard or scary about this at all. And so, Lord, I do pray for that. I pray for those who are going to hear the gospel maybe for the first time, that are going to, you know, receive the different Romans that we're passing out, and, you know, that you would just get the glory for all of it. I thank you for the opportunity you've given us as a church over this World Cup deal to really get the word of God where it needs to go. I praise you for all the things that you've been doing, whether it's CSA or, you know, what you're going to do with VBS coming up. I pray that you continue to prepare our hearts. Just to minister, just allow us to know now that things will go wrong, and that's okay, Lord, because the adversary is going to be about messing it up, Lord, but we're just going to stay, you know, vigilant and focused and keep our minds where they need to be. And so I pray for Chris and Lauren as they continue to prepare for that, that we would make time to be there, you know, just this week and this weekend as we get ready to minister to the community. Pray for Miss Sonia, Lord, as she's healing up from the accident she had. I do pray for Emily and Jared as they get to minister to her, and Barry. Lord, I pray you just bless your word today. There's just some cool things here in kind of an obscure passage that I pray that you would just convict our hearts with. I pray you would just speak to us, that it wouldn't be me, but it'd be you, in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so if you didn't notice, the lights are off. But guess what? The Word of God is still here. So we're just going to keep doing what we normally do. There's food back there. All the normal things are happening. Pray that the power comes back on. And if it doesn't, pray that, you know, we would not complain and, you know, just do what we do. So anyway, if you have your Bibles and a flashlight, because without one or the other, you're going to have a hard time. But if you have your Bibles and a flashlight or your Bible on your phone, open up to Acts chapter 15. We're going to pick back up where we left off last week. And we're going to take a larger chunk of this passage and work through it, and then next week we'll finish up chapter 15. And next week, I'm really looking forward to next week, because, man, it's the end of chapter 15 has some really cool stuff that you really need to grasp when it comes to ministry. And so I'm really looking forward to that. I've kind of, God's allowed us to walk through, to live through some of the end of chapter 15 over the years in ministry. So it's always really encouraging to be able to teach some of the things that God has showed you firsthand. And so I'm looking forward to that. But before then, we got to get to what we're doing. And so, you know, the book of Acts is transitional. We've transitioned from, you know, Peter to the Apostle Paul. He's went on his first missionary journey with Barnabas, and, you know, now they've gotten back. And then, you know, we got into chapter 15, and there was kind of some issues. There was somebody accusing basically the Gentiles that they had went and led to Christ needed to be circumcised, because that's the sign of the Jewish religion. You need to get circumcised, and while you're at it, you might as well keep the entire law of Moses. And, you know, so what happened? They had to basically take a trip down to the church at Jerusalem, because that's where the main leaders were, and just be like, okay, so what's your mind on the matter? Because, you know, we've got some people that are saying they need to be circumcised and live by the law, and Paul's saying that, you know, Gentiles can be saved by grace. And so what say you? And so that's kind of where we ended up last week in verse 11. And so let's just pick back up in verse, let's pick up in verse 11, because there's something in verse 11 that we need to make sure we understand as we read through this next section. Because if we don't understand this, it's really not going to make sense. And so they have went to Jerusalem. You know, basically, James has told them that the leader at the church was like, we don't really think that we need to put a yoke of bondage on these guys. Here's how this works. In verse 11, he says, but we believe, meaning the leaders of the church, that through the grace, notice that word grace, of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. So basically, if you're living through the law, if you're living through, you know, anything else, It's only through grace that you're going to get saved. You can try to live your best life now. You can try to do all the right things, and I'm just telling you, you're going to fall short. Without grace, it's never going to work. Trying to add anything to grace, I'm reading my notes and conflating things. He's up here, Ellie, in the front. It's all good. It is only through grace that you're going to get anything done through Christ. Your works are never gonna do it. This is not gonna happen. So anyway, let's just pick back up in verse 12, and let me just read through this section. And I'm gonna read more than I normally would. Try to keep track, and I'll kind of let you know what's going on, because you know I don't want to just skip over things. But at the same time, there's some cool things in here. So anyway, in verse 12, then all the multitude kept silence. So basically, after the leader, after James, the pastor of the church, said, "Hey, these guys can get saved the same way that we do. It's all through grace." Then they're like, "Okay, well, I guess we better shut our mouths." And so, okay, and then in verse, sneak in, guys, it's all good. Let's see, do we need to take these chairs back there, or we got room? Okay. In verse 12, it says, then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles." Remember, this is what happened in chapter 10. "To take out them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof and I will set it up. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles among whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." So basically what James says is, if you guys knew your Bible, you would understand that it talked about this going to happen eventually at some point. At some point, the Gentiles were going to be able to have the same grace that we did. If you would have read, you know, through the major prophets and the minor prophets, you knew this was coming. It's kind of what James is saying. And I'll expound some more on this in a minute, but I want to keep going. "Wherefore my sentence is..." He's kind of like the judge, jury, and executioner. He's like, "Wherefore my sentence is..." Come on, come in. This is what he says. "That we trouble not them which are from among the Gentiles that are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood." Now, I'll explain those four things to you in a little bit. But he's like, as long as they'll do these things, then they're good to go. "For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day." Basically, what James is saying is, if you're concerned about the Gentiles taking over our God, the synagogues are open every day. Any Jew who wants to come, they're preaching Moses. So it really has nothing to do with him not being available to the Jews anymore. We just rejected him. That's basically what James is saying. "Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men to their own company to Antioch, which with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren." So they send a couple witnesses back to the church to make sure that, like, hey, Paul and Barnabas aren't making this up. Like, this is really what I said, as they go back to Antioch and tell everybody. "And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles, the elders, and brethren, send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from among us troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment." He's like, we didn't say that. I'm telling you, I'm the guy. They didn't say that. We didn't say that. "It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men with you, unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Just kind of a side note, can that be said of your life? I don't know. Have you hazarded your life for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? By the way, going out with us on Friday, that's not hazarding your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just say it. "We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good unto the Holy Ghost to send us to lay unto you no greater burden than these necessary things. That you abstain from the meats offered unto idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from the which you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare you well." And then just the last couple things in verse 30. "So when they were dissembled, they came from Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered this epistle. When they had read, they rejoiced for this consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets, this is key, also unto themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. Right? And so let's just stop there. We'll pick back up next week. But anyway, I understand. You're like, wow, that's a lot. And what does that have to do with me? Okay, so this is not the most riveting portion of the book of Acts. But remember what Acts is all about. It's about transition. God is transitioning a lot of things. And so for transition to happen, there's going to be some odd sequences. In your life, when transition happens, Austin and Lauren moved this week. You know, and if you know anything about Austin, he's not going to ask for help. But, they got moved this week, praise the Lord. It wasn't very far. But when you're moving, when you're transitioning, there's going to be odd sequences of events. You're kind of like, at one point, Lauren was texting Paige, I think I can say this, and she's like, I can't find my silverware anywhere. Right? We cannot find our silverware. Like, there's in transitions, there's going to be times where it's like, I don't even understand what is happening right now. And that's kind of like this passage of Scripture. And so, you know, but I know what you're thinking. Like, what in the world does it have to do with me? Like, okay, historically, not really that much, right? I mean, yes, we're Gentiles and we can get saved by grace. Okay, that's it. But inspirationally or practically, there's some things that we can see. And so, you know, I have five questions that I just pulled out for me and for you. I didn't have anybody in mind as I was thinking these things, but as I'm walking through this Scripture, in this passage, I'm like, there's some things that we would be wise to ask ourselves, you know, just personally, that as we go through this. And so the first portion of it, number one, in verses 12 to 18, you know, it basically is, and this is kind of long, so put it in your own words, but do I actually know what the Bible says about the issues around me? Or am I simply making decisions based about how I feel about it? Like, do I actually know what the Bible says about the issues that are happening around me, or am I just going off what I think or what I feel? You know, and basically in verses 12 to 18, that's what we read. And I'm not going to read it again, but they went to Jerusalem and they were like, hey, what say you, leaders of the church? What say you, James, on this thing? Like, what are we supposed to do with what has happened? And what did James do? He's like, okay, well, before I even tell you what I think about it, what does the Bible say about it? What has, you know, they didn't have the Bible as a whole, but they did have the Old Testament for the most part. They did have all of the Old Testament books, you know, from the prophets. And he basically said, hey, what does it say? It said that this was going to happen. He's like, why are you surprised that this is happening? It said, how many times did they tell us that because of our rejection, the Gentiles would have an opportunity? So why are you confused when this is happening? And so my question for us is simply like, you know, do we actually know what the Bible says when something in our world happens? Or are we like, well, you know, I kind of feel like this about it, right? When the next thing pops up on, you know, your social media, or the next thing pops up on, you know, there's this new thing happening and, you know, we're arguing about this and we're like, well, I'm a Democrat, so I have to feel this way, or I'm a Republican, or I have to feel this way, or I go to church, so I have to feel this way. And like, why don't you just feel like what the Bible says you should feel, right? Why don't we just simply say, well, what does God say about it? And instead of saying, well, on this one, I kind of feel like this, or I kind of feel like we're wrong on this, or why not just, like, do you know what the Bible says? James tells them that if you knew your Bible, you would know this was coming. There's two things that, as Christians, like as Passpoint even, that we have to ask ourselves when things like this come up. When the next, you know, debate is happening. Because I don't know if you noticed, but like the world we live in, they like to debate. And nobody likes to be wrong. And I would say that we're probably in the same boat. Nobody, we always think we're right. We always think that we know more or we have better understanding. And I'm just telling you, if you don't have the Bible, you don't have any understanding. So two things that you should ask yourself is, do I know what the Bible says about this? Like, really, do I know what the Bible says about this? When we're arguing about, you know, abortion rights, do I know what the Bible says, or do I just know what I feel about it? When we're arguing about, you know, different racial issues, when we're arguing about, you know, all of these different things, do you even know what the Bible says, or are you just going off of what you think it might say because that's what you feel? And then the next question that goes along with that is, do I believe what the Bible says about it? You can know what the Bible says, but do you actually believe it? Because that's the problem I see in a lot of modern Christianity. We know what the book says. We just don't believe parts of it. we like to pick and choose the parts that we think, well, I mean, that really hits home with what I believe. And then there's other parts where we're like, well, I mean, that's just kind of allegorical, you know, that didn't really happen. But however you want to say it, and I'm just telling you, like, do you know what the Bible says? And do you believe what the Bible says? And those are two completely different things. Knowledge and belief are not the same thing. Why? Because let me just tell you, you act on what you believe. You don't act on what you know. Because a lot of us know some things, but we don't act like we know some things. You act on what you believe. And I'm talking to myself, and I'm talking to us as the Past Point class. You know, we act on what we believe. We say we really want to get the gospel to a lot of people. We say we want our neighbors to get saved. We say we want our family to be saved. We say that we'll do anything that God tells us to do. And then we have opportunities to go share the gospel as a class. And I'll just be completely honest. Most of us will come up with every reason in the world not to. I just can't because you fill in the blank. You're right. You can't because of that. I don't know how else to say it. You act on what you believe. The second question you're going to ask yourself as we go through this passage in verses 19 to 21, this is when, James says, these are the things, this is what my ruling is on this. Hey, they're fine to get saved by grace. There's just a few things that, like, maybe they ought to not do. You know, and he gives a list of four things. We'll get into those in a little bit. But, you know, basically the leadership says, hey, this is my answer on it. It would be like saying, hey, Pastor Brian, we've got this issue. What say you? And he's like, okay, well, here's what I say. And here's the question you have to ask yourself. Do I trust in the leadership God has ordained in the local church? Do I trust in the leadership that God has ordained in the local church? And I would honestly say at HBF, some people don't. And I don't mean to be the guy that's just like offensive to people, but I'm just saying as you look around, there are some people that they just don't buy in to the leadership. And you can tell by the way that they act. You know, and there's nothing that you can do about it other than like, okay, get your heart right, I guess. But you just got to keep moving forward. James makes the call on the issue at hand. Basically, yes, they can get saved. They don't have to be circumcised. They don't have to follow the law of Moses. You know, he says they just got to do these few things, right? He makes the call on the issues at hand, and what happens? The church is like, oh, okay. Well, if that's what James says, that's what we're going to do. Wouldn't that be something? If like, hey, this is what we're going to do. And everybody was like, all right, we'll make it happen. Sir, yes, sir. It's kind of like military. I was never in the military. But the way that I understand the military is like, hey, when the guy that has rank above you, whether they're actually smarter than you or not, says this is what we're going to do, that's what you're going to do. Whether you like it or not. Because if you start acting a fool, they're going to make you a fool. The way that I understand it. Again, I have not been there. I've heard some stories, right? And more importantly, I've seen some movies. And so, you know, that's got to be the truth, right? But everybody that I know in the military, they would tell you the same thing. Just because, like, they might not know more than you, but for whatever reason, they're allowed to be there, right? And you might think that about me at times. Like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. God has allowed me to be here. I don't know why most of the time. You know, by all means, if I'm teaching something that is completely off doctrinally wise, call me out on it. Maybe not in front of everybody, but like, you know, call me out on it. That you should do that. But it's the backbiting, it's the sliding under, and I don't think that's happening in Past Point, by the way, but just in different ministries and things. Man, just fall in line. If this is what God has allowed, trust it. Because I'm telling you, God uses the local church. He always has and He always will. Too often, we think we know better than the leaders, so we push back, or better yet, we simply only choose to follow in the areas we agree with. That's what we do. We're so passive-aggressive in the way that we live in our culture. Is like, well, I'm not going to call them out on the things that I don't like that they're doing. I'm just not going to follow them. We're only going to serve over here. We're only going to do this over here. Right? We have way too much, or way too many people saying things like, well, I won't serve in that ministry because I don't like the leader. Right? Or, I don't want to go on that trip because the guy that's leading it. If somebody else was leading it, I would definitely go. Right? Or, you know, I don't want to go to that event that we're doing or that outreach because, well, the people that are leading it, I don't really think that they know what's going on. Right? Let me just tell you, by the way, there are things that we do at HBF that I think sometimes the people that are doing them don't know what's going on. It doesn't mean that I'm going to not do it. God has called me to submit to the structure of the local New Testament church. No different than He's called you to do it. Right? There are times that even Pastor Brian does things that I'm just like, I think that's a little bit weird. And I would never tell you anything other than that. Like, I would never be like, hey, on this issue, because, you know, that's slander. But there's times that I'm just like, it would never get past the conversation I would maybe have with my wife. And then, you know what we do? We submit, because that's what God's called us to do. And, you know, there's too many people saying, well, I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to allow my kids to be a part of that. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And I'm just telling you guys, God's using the local New Testament church, with or without you. Are you in or are you out? And I hate to just be so blunt about it, but there is entirely too much 1 Corinthians division happening behind the scenes, even at HBF at times. And for the most part, it's all gravy. Like, it's all good. But I don't want to just assume and just have everybody assume that, oh no, that this is just the perfect place. There is no perfect place. We'll get to the perfect place when we get to heaven. Until then, start acting like adults and understand that God has a structure in place. Submit to it. That's what these people did. This is the first church, and they were smart enough to be like, hey, that's what James says. That's what we're going to do. Right? That's what we're going to do. Right? If this is your heart on, well, I'm not going to do that because of that person, or I can't be a part of that because of that, let me just tell you, if that's your heart on anything that happens at HEBF, you've got a submission problem. And that's just really what it boils down to. You don't have to like it, but let me tell you, God allowed it. So you should submit. You don't have to like it, but God allowed it. So you should submit. Now, again, by no means should you always just turn your blind eye to something that is completely wrong. There is a proper way to address things. It's kind of like in your marriage. If I start doing something that's completely a fool, Paige probably isn't going to call me out in front of a bunch of people. She's going to submit. She's going to follow. And then when we have time alone, she's probably going to be like, hey, babe, that was probably not the wisest thing to do. And we would have a conversation about it. You know, and so that's what submission looks like. It is following, but at the same time, it is, you know, is respecting and showing reverence to those who God's put in authority in your life. And that's just the most practical example I have, because most people in here are married, okay? But I'm just saying, like, why would we act any different in the church? You don't want to make your husband look like a fool, ladies, do you? But man, we'll make the next ministry leader look like a fool so that maybe they'll fall and the right person can get in, right? And why would we do that? You don't have to like it, but God allowed it. Like, think about King David. I have some references, but you'll just have to go back. Anyway, in the Old Testament, like, King David, obviously we're not going to do a whole lot of Bible flipping today. He had oil poured on him from Samuel, right? He was going to be the new king. And what did he do for years? He continued to just submit to Saul. He had opportunities to kill him, and what did he do? He's like, you're God's anointed. Who am I to get in the way of that? Why would I ever get in the way of that? The worst thing I could do would be get in the way of that. Because if I get in the way of that, then now I'm subverting what God's going to do. If I truly trust in the Lord, I know that when it's God's time, He'll take him out. The same way, like, if you really think that there's something wrong in ministry, just trust that the Lord will take care of it. Maybe even pray that the Lord will take care of it. Right? If that's really what needs to happen. But until then, you submit. I think all the power just went out. I mean, so now we're just going to keep going. Everybody else had lights, and now they're trying to figure out what they're going to do. We're just going to keep going. I don't know what that means for the next service. I pray that we just keep having service. But anyway, not my deal. There you go. That's right. Okay, so yeah, even David. So let me just tell you, and then we'll move on. It's not your church. It's God's church. So the question is, are you going to submit or not? Like, it's not your church, it's God's church. There are things in ministry that happen that we don't all have to agree with. Let me just tell you, and not that I'm at the top, but it's lonely at the top. When you have to make the hard decisions, I don't envy where Pastor Brian's at times. It's hard to shepherd the flock. I don't know anywhere else to put it. And I love you guys, but it's hard to shepherd the flock when sometimes the sheep are so, I don't want to say dumb, but they're so hard-headed, right? Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying anybody's dumb, but what I'm saying is, like, it's hard to shepherd the flock when people know better and then they choose not to do it anyway. It really is. And so, like, understand that, like, as leaders, we're not just like, well, this is what I think, so this is what we're going to do. There's so much prayer that goes into things. There's so many hard decisions that have to be made. And I pray that you guys understand, like, this is hard. it's hard to lead God's people, even when they're great. Like, I honestly believe, and I don't just say this because it's the class that we're involved in, I honestly believe that the Passpoint class is probably the best class at HBF, right? And it's because I think you guys are the best people. I think the people themselves are the best people. And even then, like, we just get off sometimes, guys. We've got to stay focused. We've got to stay in line, okay? Whatever that looks like in your life. Okay, the next passage, 22 to 27. The question you have to ask yourself is, am I qualified to be sent out as an ambassador for HBF? So what happens is in Jerusalem, they send these couple guys, Silas and Judas. Not Iscariot, obviously, because he's dead at this point. But Silas and Judas. And they send these guys back to Antioch with them to basically be ambassadors for the church at Jerusalem. Like, hey, I'm here to be a testimony to what these guys are saying. So the question that a lot of people would just read past this. And like, well, why does that have to do with anything? But don't miss this. Like, Judas and Silas, they put in the work to be qualified before anyone ever knew who they were. I don't know who, but maybe somebody needs to hear that again. They put in the work to be qualified before anybody ever knew who they were. A lot of times we like to have our name and lights before we're like, well, I better start getting ready for whatever God's going to do in my life. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes work that happens in people's lives before anybody ever knows who you are. You don't go and then become equipped or qualified. You become equipped, and then you're sent to go. Like, that's the structure God uses. So if you're asking yourself, like, man, what does that look like for me? I don't know. Maybe get trained up. You know, and I'm not just saying everybody needs to have a Bible Institute degree, but I'm just saying there's a lot of people at HBF that ought to be getting trained up for something. Like, even if that's just to take the next leadership spot at HBF, because there's just not even a lot of people who do that right now. There's a lot of, and I'm not just talking about past my, just overall, there's a lot of people at HBF that are like right there. And then they're like, but if I just do more, it's just going to be really hard. And it's just really going to take a lot. And I just don't really have time right now. And it's like, I don't know how else to put it, guys. Like, we only have so many minutes. I'm not even going to say years on this earth. Man, we have got to just lay it down. Lay it out there. Like, time is so short. And decide that, you know what, this is worth it. Jesus is worth it, and I'm just going to go all in. And the worst thing that happens is I make a fool of myself. But I'm at least going to do it in the name of Jesus. Because there's too many people that are like playing both sides of the fence. They're mostly on the Jesus side, but they've got just a little bit of like, yeah, but I've got this to take care of, and I've got that to take care of. And I'm just telling you, like, there's never going to be a good time to get trained up. That's what happened in my life. Like, our kids were young. I was working 80-plus hours a week every single week, working an hour from home. And we realized that, like, there's never going to be a good time to get trained up. But you know what I'm going to do? We're going to get trained up. And I say we because Paige's part in that was helping carry the slack that I couldn't while I was getting trained up. You know, and so I'm not saying that ladies aren't supposed to get trained up. Man, by all means, if you're available, HBI's for you as well. But sometimes, like, what that looks like in a family unit is, like, mom has to carry some of the extra slack at home. That's what it looked like in our family anyway. And I'm not saying it always looks like that. I'm just saying that's what it looked like in my family. And so I'm just saying there's never going to be a convenient time to say, oh, yeah, Lord, I'll go ahead and go all in. So why not now? Right? Are you qualified to be sent out? Like, stop worrying about ministry titles and feathers in your hat and go back to the last point and simply follow the delegated authority. God will take care of the rest. He always does. Stop worrying about who you are, what you're going to do. Well, once I become this or once I get this title, then I'll really start to get ready. I'm just telling you, start now. Start where you're at and just go. That's what God's calling us to do. The fourth question you can ask yourself, verses 28 to 29. This is where it kind of goes back through. I'm going to read them real quick because I'm not going to skip over these things. He says, for it seemed good unto the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these things. These are the things that he says the Gentiles need to do. You abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication. Okay, so here's the question you guys. What in my lifestyle sets me apart from the rest of the world? And that's a personal question you have to ask yourself. What in my lifestyle sets me apart from the rest of the world? He gives them these four basic things in that culture that they needed to keep. Not that these things are things that you should make sure you keep out of your life today. Honestly, fornication is probably the only one that I would say you need to make sure you don't have in your life today. But anyway, he gives them four things. Like he says, abstain from fornication. The culture that they lived in, if you don't know much about it, it was very, it was probably a lot like today, only maybe worse at times, like very sexually open, explicit things happening, you know, all these different things. And so the church was to set themselves apart by not partaking in that type of, you know, lifestyle. Okay, simple enough. As a Gentile, I can't do that, right? So, okay, makes sense. He says that we can't have meats that have been offered to idols. I referenced this last week. You could go down to the corner market and, you know, they would buy this meat and offer it to Baal. And then what didn't burn up, you could go buy it. And it was cheaper. And it was like, man, I got discount ground beef today. But the point was like, hey, we're not going to partake in things that have been offered into idols. Right? Let's just not. If it means that it costs us a little bit more to live holy, then that's what we'll do. Right? Again, that was a cultural thing, but that was one of the things. Like, so in that culture, it was a big deal that you weren't gonna partake in something that was offered into Baal. Right? It talks about you can't have partake in blood, right? There was a lot of witchcraft things going on, and there was a lot of that was really tethered to those kinds of things. So hey, we're gonna abstain from blood, right? That was kind of there's a lot more that I could get into on these things, but I'm just trying to give you a quick gist of why they were like this. And then things strangled, it was another, you know, Old Testament law thing that was like, hey, when you do these things, it was picturing things that like we don't want to be a part of. Okay, so that was the biggest thing. If you want more info on any of those four things, I can get more into it. But I don't think anybody in here is like, well, why is it those four specific things? Here's the point. You didn't have to keep the law of Moses. Just keep these four things. But what about us? Let me just ask you, how does the world know you're different by simply watching you? And let me just reference you to last week. Don't forget about the legalism versus liberty thing. Okay. Go back to finding, you know, the right way to rightly divide in those areas, right? Go back and listen to last week. But the key is, like, I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. Or I'm sorry, I'm not here to tell you how your life should look different. I'm just here to tell you that it should look different. So in your life, you have to decide, what are your convictions? What is God telling you that you should or shouldn't do? Okay, and I'm not here to say this is what you have to do in your life. And if you don't do these things, you're unholy. I'm just saying that it should look different. So what does that look like in your life? Now, if you want some pointers, I could give you some. But, you know, that's not the point right now. And then the fifth question, and this is, I'm going to end here. I know I'm running out of time, but like this is, you need to hear this. Because this is, God was asking me this. In verse 30 to 32, it says, "And Judas and Silas, these are the two guys that they sent, right, from Jerusalem to be witnesses. And they end up hanging out in Antioch for quite a while. It says, "And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves." That's really key. Being prophets also themselves. A prophet is a proclaimer, by the way. Okay, so they're prophets also themselves. "Exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles." Here's your last question. Am I a prophet also myself? And that's just when she's using the wording out of here. Am I a prophet also myself? We talked about, you know, you have to be equipped to be sent. But maybe that starts with just asking yourself, am I a prophet also myself? Judas and Silas, they didn't just have head knowledge. They knew how to live things out. They knew, they lived out what they had been taught, right? They were willing to put in the work. They were willing to do the hard things. They were willing to show up for the extra meetings. They were willing to, you know, do the godly thing even when nobody was looking. Right? Because a lot of times we're just after, you know, did somebody see me work in the ministry? Did somebody know that I helped with this? Let me just ask, what about us? What about you? Are you willing to put in the work? Are we really prophets? Which, by the way, just simply means proclaimer. A prophet is someone who proclaims the word of God. Or is it all head knowledge? Because around here, we've got a lot of head knowledge. Which is good, by the way. It's good to know what you're talking about. But, like, are we really prophets? Or is it all head knowledge? Right? We're going out on Friday. I've said it multiple times. I don't know how else to put it. Like, it's easier to go as a group. Like, we're going to go out on Friday. How many of us are going to make a way to be there versus how many of us are going to make an excuse to why we can't be there? And I understand, sometimes life happens and you just can't do certain things. It's just interesting that with certain people, there's always something that keeps them from doing certain things. I mean, I don't know. We at HBF, we like to pat ourselves on the back for all the discipleship and ministry we do. But when it comes to getting out of this building, we have a list of excuses a mile long. Like, I'm not saying, I'm just saying, when it comes to like, oh, I have to get off the property of HBF to do something for God, I don't know if I can do that. I might be able to do a CSA because it's at least in the backyard, right? But getting out, you want me to do what? You want me to have somebody in my home? You want me to go tell somebody at the gas station? I don't know if I can do that. Like, we've got all the reasons in the world why we can't. Like, what's your go-to reason for why you can? I mean, we've all got a go-to, like, well, this is my go-to when I feel uncomfortable. This is my excuse. Well, I can't because of the kids, or let me ask my husband, or whatever else, right? All these different things. And that's okay to have a go-to so you can pray about things, but let me just say, what's your go-to for when you're like, I don't know why I should do this, but I know I probably should. Maybe it should just be like, hey, God told you to. God sent you. God called you. God desires you. But instead, we're so busy making these reasons why we can't. We all want to tell ourselves we're ready to be the next Judas or Silas, right? The next guy to go, to step in, ready to be sent, ready to step up and lead in bigger ministry. But in reality, we aren't doing the work where we're at. So the question really remains, am I a prophet also myself? Like, I read through this passage and I'm like, so many people would read through this and, okay, that's cool. They made a decision on the Gentiles being able to get saved. But like, as I read this, there are some things that practically prick my heart. And I hope that we're not just skipping over them. Because, like, guys, at some point we've got to make the decision to go all in. And sometimes that's uncomfortable. Am I a prophet also myself? Those guys were. And I'm telling you, it's because they put in the work. The question is, are we willing to put in the work? Let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for your word, even in the dark, Lord. And I thank you for the Passpoint class. It's just really a testimony to you. Like, the room's full, even when the circumstances are not ideal. But praise you, Lord. And I know these were words from you. I had really nothing to say, Lord, but I know you did. And some of these things were hard to even say because I know that they're convicting to myself, and I'm sure they're convicting to other people. And God, I've come up with a lot of excuses why I couldn't go out and share the word for the World Cup up until now. And you've made it so apparent to me, like, it's time. So I'm going to go. And I pray that there's other people in here that are convicted and say the same thing. You know what? We're going to go. We may have missed out on the first, but we're not going to miss out on the last. And so, God, I do pray that you would just convict our hearts and allow us to go and see that, like, man, sharing the gospel is the best thing that we can do, especially as a group. Like, it's so fun to go out as a group and, you know, just see people laugh and, you know, do it and struggle with it and then see victory in it. And God, that's what you've called us to do. So I pray that you would bless the outreach on Friday. I pray you just bless us even this week as we just wrestle with some of these things in our own lives. And, you know, Lord, you're calling a lot of us to a lot of different things. And Lord, I pray that we would just really evaluate, are we equipped? And if not, Lord, that we would just maybe zip our mouth and submit to whatever that looks like in our lives, so that we could be the next guy to fulfill your will. So, Lord, I pray you just send us out today. Be with the next service, whatever that looks like. I pray you get the glory for all of it, because, Lord, we're not bound by electricity. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. And so I pray that you get the glory for all of it, Lord. I pray for this group. There's a lot of people in here going through a lot of things happening. I pray that you just get the glory in our lives from the things that we say and the things that we do and how we choose to live our lives. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so if you guys want to get in on the outreach on Friday, you need to let me know so I can get you some info, please. And so talk to me or Paige today, or we can talk about it through text or whatever.